Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
In the book of Timothy, Paul tells Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season, meaningly that, like we say, the holy days are a marker of time. And one of the things I love being in Israel for is just that you really see Yahweh's pattern. It's so, you see it in everything. Just a week ago, you know, our pomegranate tree, we're wondering if it was dead or not, you know. It looks so withered, and now 1 week later, it's filled with green leaves, and you know that spring is around. And the same with the holy days. You know, it's if you understand the meaning of the holy days, it's so illogical to think that they're done away with, when the whole plan of salvation is there year long. Passover, days of unleavened bread, getting sin out of our life. Shavuot, the giving of the Holy Spirit and the giving of the Torah. Feast of First Fruits, the resurrection, and then getting into the fall, the Yom Teruah, Yeshua's returning, you know, at the Feast of Trumpets, the wedding supper on Yom Kippur, Sukkot being about the millennium, you know, the seventh feast and the seventh month lasting 7 days, and then the last great day about the White Throne Judgment. So you really see it, and because, you know, the Yeshua's congregation has kept these things for thousands of years, that's why we're here today keeping them, because it's been a continuation of these things that have come to us. So it's important at these times of the year that we focus on the things in season. So we started last week, and even the week before that, in our Bible study, going over some Passover issues. But today I want to talk about repentance. I think it's extremely important, because repentance is not something that we just do once coming into the congregation, but it's something that we do continuously. Matter of fact, and I'll read it later on in the message, in the traditional prayer, which is called the Our Father in the book of Matthew, it literally says, you know, we ask Yahweh for forgiveness on a daily basis, because we're continuously going to make mistakes. We're not perfect yet. And we always have to be living in a mode, a spirit of repentance. Unfortunately, in the times we're living in, though, in these end times, what I've really seen and come to a conclusion, and particularly in the last decade, in the last couple of years, is that many believers actually have never really repented upon conversion. And what happens is, as we're going to see today, repentance is not just feeling sorry for something. You know, it's not like I accidentally put my hand in your cake that you just made, and oh, I'm really sorry, I'll replace it, I'll get you another cake. You know, it's not just a feeling of remorse for doing something. It's a total turn of life. It's a total 180 degree turn of everything about us, our whole human nature. It's understanding really the way you're working, that your whole life you've been going the way of yourself, the way of Satan, and not the way of Yahweh. And when Yahweh's Spirit is working with you and guiding you into His truth, of course, you're going to change things. You're going to change your day of worship that you find out you're doing wrong. And you're going to change foods that are not biblically proper to eat according to Yahweh's word. But those are points of sanctification. Those are points of setting us apart, you know, to be holy. But those things themselves don't make you holy. You know, it's just simply meeting on Shabbat isn't going to make you holy. It's going to set you apart to be holy, but you have to continue in that walk, as we're going to see today. And repentance is the same way. Repentance is such a remorse of what you are. And for people that think they're really not that bad, they really haven't repented. You can't repent if you don't see the evilness of yourself, the evilness of your human nature. And again, I'm not 90 years old by far, but I've been around a lot, I've seen a lot of things, and I can honestly say that just in the time I've lived and the things I've seen, that I've seen human nature at its worst. I've seen human nature at good things too, but I've seen that when somebody makes the statement that a human being will do almost anything under the wrong circumstances, I believe it because I've seen it. I've seen people that were relatively good people that would do the most abhorrible thing. There's been situations where people, there was a plane crash or something, and people are out there in the snow, and they're trying to survive, and I mean, would do anything. There was one person one time, they cut their arm off and lived off their own arm. You know, and they say that the the will to survive is greater than any other will that people have. The will to survive. And you don't know it until you get in those situations. Because in the facade of Babylon, we don't see that. You know, when everybody is having a nice place to live and they have food in the refrigerator and they're getting this little money every week that's going into this system that the Federal Reserve has created, you're not seeing the worst of human nature. But yet, when problems come up, and even in families sometimes, a person dies, a mother, a father, a grandfather, whatever, and over inheritance, family members, brothers, sisters, whatever, have never talked to each other again over money, over things like that. And it shows you, human nature is evil. And unless you see that, you will never repent. You will never come to true repentance. And not just seeing their human nature, seeing your own human nature. Seeing what every one of us is capable of. Every one of us is not only capable, every single human being, me, you, and anybody else that will hear this, is a liar, is a thief, is an adulterer, is a murderer. Every one of us, to the core of our nature. And according to Yeshua, we've done it. Because again, every person that has ever lived, pretty much, I would believe, has gotten angry at one time in their life. And according to Yeshua, anger is murder. You know? Lust is adultery. So it's coming to grips with this, which brings you to repentance, as we're going to see. And it's a beautiful thing to come to repentance. Because repentance is a gift. It's a gift for Yahweh. It's not something you work up. It's a gift from Yahweh, and it will bring you to another point in your life. And that's why Paul says, as you grow into this new person, you know, and this is what Passover is all about, becoming this new person, you honestly can say, where is the boasting? Where is the boasting? If you met somebody on the street that said, oh, Don Esposito, I went to school with him. I knew him when he was 16 years old. They might not believe the person I am today because I'm not the person I was when I was 16. But I can't take any credit for that. Any change that's come, any good that's come out of me or fruit that was born in my life, it's got to go to Yahweh because only by His Spirit can any change come. But the key what happens is, if you're not believing this, if you're not believing that you're evil, you know, not just that you've done something bad. You know, it's like I grew up in Catholicism. You know, you'd have to go to confession every so often. Sometimes people do it every day. You know, but every year or every 2 years or whatever, and you'd have to go in and say to the priest, "And oh, what did I do? I told my mother, you know, I yelled at my mother, or I told her I didn't like her spaghetti, you know. Committed the cardinal sin. I didn't eat grandma's meatballs," or whatever it might be. But it's like, that's not what it's about. It's not just admitting doing something, it's admitting it what we are. And again, if we're all going to grow, if we all really want to become that person of Yahweh, if we want to become perfect like our Father in Heaven is perfect, what makes us perfect is His Spirit. It's the Spirit of Yahweh that is only the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, you know, goodness, long-suffering, faith. And that Spirit is not our spirit. It's not a spirit we're born with. It's not a human spirit. But it's a spirit that Yahweh wants to freely give us upon repentance. Upon repentance. And like I said, I've seen people that were baptized and within 6 months, they're walking away. You know? They're quitting. They're doing something. They're going back to the working on the Sabbath. They're doing all these things. And if you do that within a few months, you've never repented. And praise Yahweh for that. Because if you really did repent and you turned back, you're going to the lake of fire. It's very simple. Hebrews 6. It's better to have never known the truth than have His Spirit in you and actually teach you right from wrong. And then you say, you know something? Now that you told me right from wrong, I'm going to take the wrong route. It's eternal death. So we actually thank Yahweh that, or pray that, wow, I hope this person never actually had His Spirit. But I could say what I see today is probably at least half the people that are being baptized. I've been blessed in the last decade to baptize more than 1,000 people. And it's a blessing. And I love it. It's the greatest thing in my life to perform a baptism, to be there, to see people come to faith. But as I honestly look back and I see the fruit and I see what's happened over time, I would think at least half those people never received Yahweh's Spirit because they never repented. So I think a message like this is important because There'll be people. There's people that are going to be baptized now. There were people that just got a report yesterday from Nicaragua, people that were baptized. There's going to be people baptized before Passover. There'll be people baptized every year at Sukkot. There's been some Sukkot, we've baptized more than 50 people in one feast. So baptisms are going to continue, and that's why this is so important, because we don't want to just get wet. We don't want to just get wet. We want to bring people into heartfelt repentance that is going to bring them into the family of Yahweh. And it's the difference between called and chosen. You know, many are called, few are chosen, few are faithful. And again, not that all these people will be lost, you know, because many of these people in the White Throne Judgment will make Yahweh's kingdom. But if people really want to go from called to chosen, if you want to be a first fruit, if you want to rule with Yeshua in His kingdom, if you want to see this transformation the way it's supposed to happen to our life in this earth, where we're going to see everything be transformed to the way it was in the Garden of Eden, then we got to surrender ourselves. And that's the biggest problem. That if you're truly going to repent to Yahweh, there's got to be surrender. There's got to be surrender. And we're just living in a time, there's the Laodicean spirit, that it's not a spirit of surrender. We're seeing it in the world. You see it everywhere you look. You see contention. You see fighting. You see, you know, what's the new thing in America? Occupy Wall Street. You know, you see the Arab Spring. You see that people that don't want to surrender, it's the opposite. Everybody wants their rights. And it's my right. And it's my right to health care. And the government's got to give me this. And you're seeing anger in a way that I don't believe that we've ever seen, maybe since the days of Noah. That people that are basically normal people just having such an angry spirit to them. Again, what people many times perceive as repentance is nothing more than worldly sorrow. It's nothing more than worldly sorrow. And many times it's when we get caught. That even, and I'm sorry, would not come out unless somebody got caught. They got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. And then what you see is worldly sorrow. You know, like I said many times, when somebody goes before the court and they're guilty, and now they're going to get sentenced, the lawyer will have a person read something to the judge to try to make the sentence less, and they'll sit here. I am so, what's that word? Sorry for what I did. And you see it, it's pure fakeness, it's pure fantasy, that people are not sorry for what they did. They're sorry they got caught. You know, and worldly sorrow is not Yahweh repentance. They're feeling sorry for the consequences that the action brought and how they are being perceived by others, but they're not truly repentant over their sinful nature. So today we're going to get into this in depth. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to us and the others that will hear this and really help us prepare for Pesach. 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7 says, "For even if I made you feel sorry in the epistle, I do not regret, even though it caused sorrow, for I see that although the letter grieved you," 2 Corinthians 7:8, "it was only for an hour." So we're seeing here that the Corinthians, you know, are having worldly sorrow, it seems to be. You know, that they were just sorry over the letter that Paul had, giving them correction. But he says, only for an hour. He says in verse 9, "Now I rejoice not that you were grieved, but that your sorrow led to repentance." So now he's saying, hey, they seem to have real repentance. "For you were grieved over the things of Yahweh, so that you lack nothing from us. For sorrow over the things of Yahweh," verse 10, "works enduring repentance of the soul that brings one to life. But the sorrow over the things of the world causes death." So worldly sorrow, you know, the half-hearted, "I'm sorry," it doesn't cut it with Yahweh. Don't even remotely think that that has anything to do with repentance. And what he says here, Elohim-guided repentance leads to life because it's a prerequisite for receiving His Holy Spirit in baptism. But worldly sorrow doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything. It leads to death, and as we'll see here, we'll look at a couple of examples of worldly sorrow compared to Yahweh-guided sorrow. Let's go to Exodus 9. This is this reading today in the Torah study, Exodus 34. Good story. We'll go a little before that now. See our good friend Pharaoh, who is a great example to us in this regard of the kind of repentance you don't want. Exodus 9 and verse 27. It says, "And Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, 'I have sinned this time. Yahweh is the righteous one, and I and my people wicked ones.'" So what's happening here? We're seeing all the plagues that are coming, right? And after every plague that's happening, the water being turned to blood, you're seeing the flies and the frogs and all these other things. And after everything happens, Pharaoh turns again. And now there's the hail coming in chapter 9. You know, this heavy, heavy hail with fire. And he's getting afraid. And now Pharaoh says, he sent and called Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned this time. Yahweh is the righteous one, and I and my people wicked ones." Well, sounds like pretty much Elohim-guided repentance, right? But drop down to verse 33. "And Moses went out from Pharaoh from the city, and he spread out his hands to Yahweh, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and rain was not poured out toward the earth. And Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, and he continued to sin. And he made his heart heavy, he and his servants. And Pharaoh's heart was made strong, and he did not send away the sons of Israel, as Yahweh had said by the hand of Moses." So again, why does worldly sorrow lead to death? Because worldly sorrow is only sorrow as long as the circumstances are there. You know? As long as the person is there that caught you taking the cookies out of the jar, as long as, you know, the situation is relevant to what you're feeling sorry for, you're going to feel sorrow. But the minute the situation goes, so does the repentance. It's not real repentant. It's not true repentant from your heart that you're literally abhorring not only what you did, but who you are. That it should sicken you to death that you can even think that way. And that's the kind of repentance, the Yahweh repentance, that will actually lead to real change. Because now you were so sickened by yourself that you are willing to surrender yourself. Because you know who you are, you know what you do, you know what you're capable of. And you want no part of it. But this kind of sorrow, worldly sorrow, like Pharaoh, it's a ploy. It's just words to get out of the situation, but the pride and the arrogance and the self-will is still there. And like I said, I've had people do it to me many times. They'll come and, "Oh yeah, I want to get baptized, this and that." And I'm not the judge. Yahweh is. So Yahweh knows whether his spirit is given or people are just getting wet. But then boom, within months or even sometimes hours of the baptism, they're right back to the same old way. Gossiping, backbiting, bad talking. Some of them not even repentant, lying to you. They're still working on Shabbat. And they're not going to tell you. You know? Like Acts with Ananias and Sapphira. You're not lying to man. You're lying to the Holy Spirit. What kind of devilish mind? What's the purpose of it? That you're going to lie to someone to get baptized when you know you're still doing this sin? Fanatize people living together in adultery. And they think they're somehow going to lie to the Holy Spirit. That somehow that water is magical. That when they go in that water, somehow magical things are going to happen. And it doesn't work that way. You know when magic happens? Magic happens through repentance. Magic happens when you realize who you are and what you are. And you're so sickened and abhorred by it, you want to get rid of it. But as long as you're going to sit there and say, "No, I'm pretty good. It's not me. Nothing wrong with me. Oh, no. You know, that's really good what you said. I agree with it." For him, you will never change. You'll never change. And it's the Pharaoh syndrome. We see the same thing with Saul. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. What a pathetic example that Saul was. You know, that here it was, this man from this little tribe of Benjamin that Yahweh said when he was small in his heart, you know, and humble, that Yahweh made him king over Israel. And then what happens, you know? Because of that now, that meant more. Keeping this physical kingdom meant more than even his relationship to Yahweh. And all he knew is he would do anything, including murder, just to keep that position. And then twice David comes to him and shows him, humiliates him, to show him what kind of person he is and what kind of heart he is and what kind of person David is that could have taken his life twice and didn't. And what is Saul do both times? David, my son, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He's sorry as long as David is there with his men and he's caught with his hand in the cookie jar. But as soon as that situation ended, what happened? He's out to kill him again. And then David realized, I got to get out of here. Because the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All his ways. So somebody who is refusing to repent, who is being run by his human nature, we've been going over this with spiritual maturity, you're being run by your human nature, don't expect any kind of stableness in a person like that. Don't think it's only going to be one thing. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if someone is being led by his human nature and not by the Spirit of Yahweh, he will continuously make these bad and wrong decisions. It's that simple. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, we'll go over one more example of this. With Esau. Because sometimes people think, you know, why was Esau not forgiven? But let's look at the circumstances. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. He says, eagerly pursue peace and holiness with all without which no one will see Yahweh. Watching diligently, that not any lack from the grace of Yahweh. What is his grace? His spirit being immersed in his family. That no root of bitterness growing up may crowd in on you. And through this many are defiled. That not any fornicator or profane one is Esau, who for one meal gave up his birthright. For you know also that afterwards, desiring to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, although seeking it with tears. Will Yahweh ever reject? Is there anything in his word that would ever make us think that if anybody, no matter who they were, that if they honestly, with a heartfelt heart, sincerely repented, that Yahweh would reject them? No. There's nothing. You know, we look at Ezekiel 18, that Yahweh says it's not his will for any to perish but to come to repentance. We look at the New Testament, everywhere is about redemption. You know, Yahweh so loved the world, he gave his only son not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So why here? Poor Esau, right? Poor Esau. You know, he's being tricked by his brother, the supplanter, Jacob. And now he's repenting with tears. Why isn't Yahweh accepting it? Because when you look at the story of Esau, we don't have the time today. I did a message on this, I think at the school with some of you, 2 years ago, on Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. We see that Esau had worldly repentance. Esau, why was he crying? He was crying because he lost his blessing. But how much did he cherish being the first fruit of Yahweh? How much did he cherish that Yahweh chose him? You know, I mean, come on, he was just a baby in that womb. It wasn't up to him who came first. But here's Jacob grabbing his heel before he's even out of there. And Jacob, you know, say what you want about him. You could say he tricked Esau or whatever. But the one thing is, there was no trick when he came in from the field. Esau was hungry. There's no way that you're going to tell me from hunting one afternoon he was to the point of death, you know, that he said, what good is this birthright to me if I'm going to die from hunger? Come on, a big, strong hunter like him, he can't go a few hours without a meal? But no, because he was lusting something at that time, and his belly may have had temporary hunger pains, he said, what good is this birthright? And because he despised the birthright of Yahweh, Yahweh despised him. And the repentance was only coming because he was losing his blessing. And that's why he says a root of bitterness. Because once he saw his brother being blessed, he was bitter toward his brother. He was more bitter toward his brother for gaining a blessing than he was for him for losing it. Like I say, worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow, not only is worldly sorrow have nothing to do with repentance, but look what worldly sorrow leads to. Worldly sorrow will lead to bitterness, jealousy, envy. That's what it is, because what starts to happen is, now at first, when you're first caught, you might even throw out an I'm sorry. And then sometimes, well, what are you sorry for? What do you want, blood? I said it. Doesn't sound like repentant attitude to me. And I've heard people say it. You know? You want blood from me? That's not repentance. So what happens is, as they go longer and longer without a repentant attitude, they get more and more bitterness. And unfortunately, the most bitterness will come at who? The one who deserves it the least. The one who they hurt. The one who they should be repenting to. Because now their conscience is convicting them because they're not repenting. So now they'll start attacking and hating that person who they should be actually coming to and saying, I'm sorry for how I hurt you. Worldly sorrow. And that's why worldly sorrow leads to death. Not only is it a lack of repentance for the original sin, but worldly sorrow will lead to sin upon sin upon sin. It will lead to bitterness, and then it'll get to the point, like Satan, that the person will justify himself so much in his mind that he did nothing wrong and he was right, that he'll never repent. And then the unpardonable sin comes. The unpardonable sin is unrepentant sin. That's why what we want is, we don't want a spirit like Pharaoh. We don't want a spirit like Saul. We don't want a spirit like Esau. We want a spirit like King David. We want a spirit that when it comes to us that we did something against Yahweh, that we're immediately convicted in our heart, the word of Yahweh is like a two-edged sword cutting to our heart, and we're going in on our hands and knees, we're repenting to Yahweh and any other thing we have to do. If it's somebody physically we hurt or did something to, and we're making restitution. And literally, from the bottom of our heart, we're feeling that repentance. Because it's a gift from Yahweh. It's a gift. But if you keep turning that gift away from Yahweh and you don't accept it, sooner or later, Yahweh will take the gift off the table. And I'm telling you, and probably many of you can attest to this, it's one of the scariest things in the world to know somebody who was a true believer, who went down this road, and then when they rejected Yahweh's repentance, what happened afterwards? Even in a lot of cases, it's turned to suicide. But people that have turned bitter and angry, and you wouldn't even know the person. Friends of mine that I knew from years ago that started, I never in 10 years had heard a curse word out of their mouth. And then when they got into this unrepentant attitude, wow, it was like every other word was like a curse word. And the bitterness that came in toward a church, toward a minister, toward a person, sometimes toward their parents, toward their brother, toward a man, toward anyone but them. And that's what Satan wants. And every day he wants to keep stroking your back. Keep blaming him. Keep pointing that finger. Oh, I know the old saying, four more come back at me. But don't worry about it. Just keep pointing it at them. Worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow leads to death because it adds sin upon sin upon sin. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. And the one thing, you know, like I say, I'm not a smart person. I didn't grow up in the truth, but I was smart enough when I came into the truth to understand this. I was smart enough to know who I am. I was smart enough to know what I'm capable of, and I believed it. When the message came and it was shown to me what real repentance is, oh, I understood it because I understand me. And here it is almost 30 years later. I still know what I'm capable of because you can suppress your human nature, and that's all we can do. And let the Spirit of Yahweh work. But you never want to let that nature come back. You always, it's a thing you got to work on every day of your life. Every day of your life. And when the kingdom comes, you know what will happen? Yahweh willing, that human nature will die with our flesh. And then Yahweh will give us the fullness of His Spirit. But in the meantime, it's a dogfight. It's a dogfight. And what you'll see is, if you keep stroking your back and just keep rejecting it, you're not going to be happy. Repentance is the thing that will free you. It will free you from so many things. Number one, the most important thing, it frees you from eternal death. It frees you from the penalty of the sin that hasn't been removed. Like I said, people, they could lie to me about being baptized and still be in a sin, but that's not going to pay their penalty. Because the day will come, 2 Corinthians 5:10, everyone who ever lived will stand before Yeshua. And there's no lying to Him. Either our sin is going to be paid for and removed, or we're going to pay the penalty in that day. So there's no trickery that's involved. We can't trick Yahweh. But if we accept this wonderful gift that He's offering, the gift of repentance, it frees your life. It's like having a they say if you ever had a heart attack, it's like an elephant on your chest. And it's like taking that elephant away. You know, it's such a freedom. Because, like I said, the heart is deceitful. Who wants to be run by your own human nature? And a lot of times we can't see it. And that's why when someone comes to us and they share something, don't be offended. Don't be offended when someone's trying to share something. You know what? Pray about it the first thing. Pray about it. And that's one of the biggest things I see today. The littlest thing. It doesn't matter if you're telling someone the color of their shirt or anything. The spirit of offense, and I just read it here in Hebrews, the root of bitterness. Where's it coming from? It's coming from pride and an unrepentant heart, which is prophesied in the end days. The Laodicean, he's rich and increased with goods and need of nothing. It's like, don't tell me that I need to do this. I don't need anything. And yet they're poor, they're blind, they're miserable and naked. So the brother or the sister that has the character to come to us and share with us in humility something that can help us, thank them. Thank them. Hug them. Pray for them. Because it's showing that they love you. It's showing they love you. That's what it's about. That's how we help each other, by doing these things. John 6:44. No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we see repentance is not something you choose. It's not something you work up. It is a gift of Yahweh. But the way that you receive that gift is surrendering your soul. You cannot live by following your own human nature and your own heart that is deceitful and think that you're going to get Yahweh's gift of repentance. You have to surrender yourself. And I know that Satan will put things there, because many times some of these things that we put up, whether it's a hard personality or whatever, you know, we feel they're mechanisms we put up because we were hurt in the past, and Satan wants to put things in your mind, I'll never get hurt again. But all that stuff is not reality. Reality is, you know, Yeshua said, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest, because when you can wake up in the morning and your soul is free because you truly have repented and laid all of your burdens on the throne of Yahweh and he's removed them because it's real repentance, man, there's a freedom in your life. And the way you know, I'll give you a litmus test right now to prove to yourself, think about it, whether you have this or not. If you really have this, you will have such a joy of Yahweh that surpasses all understanding. You will feel such a freedom. You will feel no burden. You will feel so free because you're not carrying this around. But if you don't surrender to him, you're going to walk around with this burden. It's going to bear on your soul and it will weigh you down. It will weigh you down because it's your conscience convicting you that you haven't done it yet. And the end result is love, joy, peace, patience. Like I said, that's the way to know. Because those things of the Spirit of Yahweh that will enter you upon true repentance and faith in Yeshua, of that repentance and his blood to cover the sin, his Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, faith. That's what it is. So like I said, you can't fake it. Somebody can't walk in this door with a bitter attitude, judgmental, cutting everybody down, and sit here and say, yeah, and you're going to judge me that I don't have the Holy Spirit? As they gossip, malign, criticize everybody? No, I don't have to judge you. The Word judges you. And the Word says it's impossible to have the Spirit of Yahweh and be like that. You can't. You can't. You know? Like Jacob says, a stream cannot give bitter and sweet water at the same time. So again, we have to realize this is a gift from Yahweh. And why does that gift not come? Just one reason. Romans 2. Because Yahweh wants everyone to have that gift. They said Ezekiel 18. It's his will that everyone would come to repentance. But again, we have free choice. So we have to make that choice. Romans 2, 4 and 5. He says, or do you abuse the riches of his, Yahweh's kindness and forbearance, and the opportunity he has given you, not knowing that the kindness of Yahweh leads you to repentance? But because the hardness of your unrepentant heart, you are treasuring up a store of wrath against the day of wrath and against the revelation of the righteous judgment of Yahweh. Very simple. Very simple. You have to humble yourself to accept this gift. You have to humble yourself. You have to rebuke the prideful spirit that's in our human nature. And you literally have to humble yourself here. But if not, verse 5, but because of the hardness of your unrepentant heart, you're treasuring up a store of wrath. So again, if we want to accept this gift, Yahweh resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. If you don't see your evil nature for what it is, Yahweh will not bless you with repentance. You have to see it. You have to see the nature that we have. If we just go one more chapter in Romans 3, we'll read a little bit about that nature. Nothing Yahweh says is in vain. And when Yahweh says something, every word is true and to the core. And look what he says about all of us, starting in verse 10. According as it has been written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is not one understanding, there is not one seeking Yahweh. All have turned away, they became worthless together. Not one is doing goodness, not so much as one. Their throat is a tomb being opened, they use deceit with their tongues. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their way, and they did not know a way of peace. There is no fear of Yahweh before their eyes. How could somebody come into the presence of Yahweh and his people and just judge everything? Judge the way you dress, judge the way you said this, judge how you're doing this, judge how you're doing this, and have the fear of Yahweh. How on earth can somebody do that and have the fear of Yahweh? But he says, because there is no fear of Yahweh. Self-righteousness, pride, root of bitterness, envy, these things are so contrary to the fear of Yahweh and so contrary to repentance. Because repentance, you know what it's doing? Repentance is looking at me, not looking at you. It's looking at me. But we know that whatever the Torah says, it speaks to those within the Torah, so that every mouth may be stopped and all the world is under judgment to Yahweh. Because by works of the Torah, no one of all flesh will be justified before him. For through the Torah is the full knowledge of sin. In verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. So it's not even like when we look in the Bible in the end time and we say, one will be taken, one is left, the wheat and the tares. And you could clearly look that probably 50% of the people claiming to be believers are plants by Satan. But even the other 50% that are real first fruits, we all need repentance. And that's why I say, Passover, I'm thankful that Passover only comes one time a year. Because the type of reflection that we have to do at Passover time, the type of preparation, the type of inner looking at yourself, you couldn't do it all year long. I mean, it's heart-wrenching to do it. It's depressing. And yet in the end of it, when you sit there on Passover night and you take that bread and you take that little sip of wine and you know that Yahweh blessed you to give his grace to you another year, that covers all of it. It covers all of it, but only if you prepare yourself and really look inside are you going to get the meaning out of that night that you're supposed to get. I mean, that night is such, it's mind-boggling to think, and what a blessing we are here. You know, that you go to the house of Caiaphas, you know, during Passover day, and you see the very place that Yeshua's blood was dripping the night before he died. You know, you go through the Kidron Valley, you go to the Mount of Olives, you really do it, you go to the Garden Tomb, you so much put in your mind that whole walk that he did, and you read the scriptures, and you see the mocking, the spitting, the punching in the face, the blood that he gave, even when he's on there, on the tree, being crucified, and how they're criticizing and mocking him, and the patience and self-control he had to not say, Father, enough, get me off of here. Because if he did, we wouldn't be sitting in this room. And that's what we do. Every year we do that on the 14th day of the first month. And I'm telling you, it is as hard as it is and as heavy as it is to do it. When Passover night comes and you're allowed to partake of that Passover, it's worth it. It's worth it. And you just know with every ounce of your being that it's nothing you did that put you in that room. You grieve for the ones who don't show up. Every year there's somebody, more than one, that won't take Passover. They turn back, just like what Yeshua in John 6. When they heard the word, unless you eat the body of the Son of Man and drink his blood, there's no life in you. And it said, many turned back. The words were too hard. And it's sad. It grieves you. And it's even more humbling when you see some have turned back and you're still there. Because it's not you. It's not you. Where is the boasting? And that is his grace more than anything you could ever learn in a sermon. By just taking what I'm saying today, looking in your heart, getting to repentance, and showing up on that night if Yahweh grants you the ability to do it, and taking that bread and the wine. That says it all in your spirit, then you know. Where is the boasting? Where is the boasting? It's not with us. Repentance. It's so, so vitally important. John 8. John 8 in verse 34. It says, Yeshua answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone practicing sin is a servant of sin. But the servant does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Everything we do in life, I said this before, has to deal with pain and pleasure. People that are continuing in sin, and I've dealt with this over the years, dealing with many people on different things. I know addictions are very hard, especially drug addiction, those kind of things. Sometimes when you're dealing with heroin addiction, I've had the opportunity to counsel people with that. Your body literally can't do without it. You know, heroin addicts that they had to take clean, it's like they're going to die what they go through. You know? And yet at the same rate, like I say, no matter what the sin is, because people will say, oh, I hate that sin. Why am I doing it? It's like, no. If you're doing it, somehow you're finding pleasure to it. Even though you know ultimately heroin's going to destroy you, at the time you're getting some kind of pleasure. Whether that pleasure is, you know, just that you don't have to think about life for those few hours where you're strung out on the thing or whatever. But there's something in your warped human nature that's coming out with pleasure to it. And yet, Yeshua says here, that if you come to him, you can be freed from anything. I've had the opportunity, the blessing, I should say, many times in my walk to have people come to me that had a problem with cigarette smoking. And people that said, I'm telling you, unless Yahweh intervenes, it's impossible. I have tried to quit over and over and over and couldn't quit. And yet, when they repented and they put it on the throne of Yahweh, immediately. Every year at the feast, I'll bet you there's at least two or three people there that can give this testimony. And will say, not only have I quit, I have no desire. And I tried over and over and over. Because Yeshua can do it. See, what I read here is, if you truly repent, Yeshua makes you free. But whether you will stay free depends on you. It's not a get out of jail card, like in the Monopoly game, forever. Yeshua frees us from the death penalty that we were walking. But if we stay free, it's our choice. And that's what Hebrews 6 says. Or I'll read it here in Peter, 2 Peter 2:22. But the word of the true proverb has happened to them. The dog returns to his own vomit, also the sow that was washed to wallowing in the mud. You have to fight your human nature. After you truly repent, and after you turn away from these sins, you think that Satan is going to stop attacking you? I tell people when they get baptized, sometimes people think they'll never sin again. I say the total opposite. You just moved up on Satan's hit list, about a million people. And you're going to go through attacks. You're going to go through trials. But you know what? Now you have the Holy Spirit there to fight for you if you just allow him to. And you can't give in to that temptation. You can't do it. Whatever it takes, everybody, no matter what it is or what it is, all our temptations are different. You have to put the temptation out of your life. And that's when Yeshua said, if your arm offend you, cut it off. It's an Aramaic idiom. He's not telling people literally to cut their arm off. We knew a situation from years ago, a woman that was in one of our congregations years back, literally cut her arm off with a carving knife because of that scripture. You know, but what the scripture is saying is, whatever is causing you to sin, get it out of your life. You can't play with Russian roulette. And like I said, this is the part that grieves me in the days we're living in, that there's such a blindness over the spirit of Babylon, you know, in that's come in the world today, that people just don't see how serious it is. They don't see how serious it is playing this this Russian roulette that's going on. And this is something that is a daily thing. I've met a couple of people, and one person I could think of particularly several years back, that believed you only repent one time in your life when you're baptized, and you never have to repent again. And I was trying to show him these different scriptures, and he wasn't getting it. But I just think that people are almost, maybe they're not physically saying that, but that's the way they're believing. They're not living in a spirit of repentance. And that's what we need to do. Repentance is something you grow into. It's something you grow into, because as you grow in the holiness of Yahweh, your repentance should be growing. You know, and I always give the example that I say, you know, years ago when I used to first became a believer and I loved football, American football. And I'd always say, oh, is it sin? Show me in the scripture. Where does it say, thou shalt not watch football? You know, in football you could kind of get, it's a pretty gory sport. Who would want to watch people just killing each other? But you could say that really for any sport. Basketball, baseball, it's all a waste of time. You know, this guy does this, he throws this ball in this basket, he throws this ball in this basket, and then when it's over, you start all over again. Playing sports is different, you get exercise, but just sitting there night after night watching the same thing over and over and over. So what I did was I stopped asking the question, well, is it sin? Where does the Bible say not to watch football? And started to ask the question, is it holy? Is it holy? And you'll get a whole different answer. That I appreciate so much the fact that the people here, that all of us, are trying to do the holiness walk. We're trying to strive in our life to better ourselves. And it's like I said, it's not easy. It doesn't make us any better than anybody else. But we're trying to. We're trying to. And we honestly come together as a people. And I feel strengthened every time I come together here. Whether it's Shabbat, whether it's just getting together and doing something, whether it's the Bible studies. But I feel a strength from each of you, from Yahweh's Spirit in your gifts. You know, that we strengthen each other. Because that's what it's about. You know, we need that. But if you're not living in a mindset of repentance, if you're not, like I said, you know, we can go there in Matthew 6. And we'll read it. The prayer when the disciples asked Yeshua how to pray. Verse 9, he says, so then you should pray this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Whenever we start to pray, we always want to separate Yahweh's name. We want to glorify him. We want to get in the right mindset of who we're speaking to. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as it is in heaven, also on the earth. We pray for the work of Yahweh. We pray for his kingdom. We pray for all the suffering in this world. And we pray about that kingdom that's coming. Give us the bread of our need this day. We pray to him just like a child would with a father, and we share with him the problems we're having in our life. We ask him for intervention. We ask him for help, for guidance. And forgive us our offenses as we have also forgiven those who have offended us. So this is what we should be doing every day. You know, that you go out any given day, you have no idea if you've offended somebody. You know, this ultimately happens every feast. This happened the last feast, that at the time, I come out of these feasts sometimes and I'm just thinking, wow, that was the greatest 10 days of my life. And then 1 month later, 2 months later, you find out someone was offended at somebody. Most of the time, it's something that is so minor or not even real. But why not at the time just go up to the person and say, you know, hey, I was trying to get that water and you got in front of me. Oh, I didn't even know it. I didn't even realize it. But then the bitterness is held. And then it becomes something that it's not. But he says here, how can we ask for forgiveness if we're not forgiving others? And we need to ask for forgiveness on a daily basis. We need to be in that mode of a spirit of repentance. That we know that repentance is simply Yahweh's grace. Because like I said, any given day that you walk in your house at the end of the day, you have no idea if you've offended somebody. You have no idea. You know. And I know in my 30 years in the truth, in my 16 years as a pastor, most of the time when someone has come to me to counsel that they're offended at somebody, the person they offended has no idea. They don't have the slightest idea that they even did something that could have offended the other person. So we need His grace. Every day we pray that. Father, I could have did something today. I'm a human. I could have faltered. If I did, if I offended somebody or I said something that's wrong or did something that was taken out of place, please let Your mercy, let Your grace cover my weakness. It's a spirit. And you need humility of that. Because to do that, every day you have to realize you're imperfect. Every day you have to realize that there, in the flesh, you're lacking what Yahweh has to make up in the spirit. But again, if you're rich and increased with goods and don't need anything, you're never going to ask Yahweh for this. You're never going to ask Yahweh for this. And you're never going to come to Him and say, Father, forgive me. Well, you know, I really didn't respect my wife today. You know, I really didn't correct my child the way I should have. Oh, you know, when we got together with the brethren, I didn't show respect the way I should have to so-and-so. You'll never think that way unless you're living in a mode of repentance. Unless you're realizing. Like I said, if you're laying on the saying, if you're rich and increased with goods and need of nothing, oh, you'll just go home and pray to Yahweh like the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? Thank You, Father, that I'm not like all these Babylonians. They're all evil, and thank You that I'm this wonderful person. It's not a spirit of repentance. Not a spirit of repentance. And like I say, will not bring us closer to Yahweh like He wants us to be. Matthew 3 and verse 1. It says, now, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the deserted places of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is drawn near. For this is he spoken of by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh, make smooth his paths. And John himself had his clothing from hairs of a camel and a belt of leather about his loin, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea went out to him in all the neighborhood of the Jordan, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, offspring of vipers, who has informed you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And do not suppose to say within yourself, we have a father Abraham. For I say to you that Yahweh is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. But already the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, any tree not bringing forth good fruit is cut off and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you in water to repentance, but he who is coming after me is stronger than me, of whom I am not worthy to remove the sandals. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will cleanse his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the storehouse, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Repentance means fruit. Repentance means fruit. And yes, repentance is not just, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm sorry starts the process. Maybe. But it certainly doesn't end the process. And when someone says, what do you want, blood? They don't understand. Yes, Yahweh wants blood. Sin brings the shedding of blood. And His Son shed His blood for our sins to be forgiven. When there's repentance, there has to be fruit. There has to be fruit. The bigger the offense, the bigger the fruit. What caused it? What was the sin? And like I said, maybe I'm sorry starts it, but there has to be a change. And there has to be a change in not just restoring what was lost, you know, by the person who sinned, but there has to be a change in attitude. You know, I've seen in places where someone with an accusing spirit. And every now and then, maybe once every 2 years, that person will sit down and cry and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm like this. And then the next day they go right back to doing it again. That's not repentance. That's not repentance. What it is it's someone feeling guilty at the time with worldly sorrow for a minute. And worldly sorrow leads to death. True repentance is a change of life. It's surrendering our wicked, evil human nature and allowing the Spirit of Yahweh to fill us up. And like I said, the fruits of that spirit will be evident in our life. Luke 13. Luke 13. Starting in verse 1. It says, "And some were present at the same time, reporting to him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate mixed with their sacrifices. And answering, Yeshua said to them, 'Do you think that these Galileans were sinners beyond all the Galileans because they were killed this way? No, I say to you, but if you do not repent, you will all likewise be destroyed. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that these were sinners beyond all men who lived in Jerusalem? No, I say to you, but if you do not repent, you will all likewise be destroyed.'" And like I say, one of the biggest problems today, why people don't come to repentance, is the old, "I'm okay, you're okay." Remember, we're living in a world where, in this globalized New World Order world, you know, acceptance to everything, don't judge. And even in churches, you don't see any more. You don't see anybody talking about repentance. And what happens is people start to think, well, you know, I'm not that bad. Especially with people in the world. If you're bringing the gospel and they say, well, I'm not that bad. I've never killed anybody. You know, everything, I worked for my own. So I go to church on Sunday. You really think I'm going to go to hell because of that? You know, and they're getting this in their mind. They're not realizing. They never read Romans 3. That there's none good. No, not one. That everybody's nature is vile, disgusting, and against Yahweh. And like I said, put in a wrong situation, any of us would do almost anything. If we're being led by human nature and not the Spirit of Yahweh. So, like he said here, were these people any worse than any other people? No, but unless they repent, they will all perish. We have to realize that there's none good, no, not one. That every single one of us needs to take it serious. To different degrees, for different reasons. We're all different. We all have different problems. We all come from different ways. But every one of us needs to take the topic of repentance serious. Because you know what? If you don't need repentance, then you just did away with the need for a Savior. You know, it's just like law. If the law is done away with, well, what is the law? What is the Torah? What is sin, rather? 1 John 3:4. Sin is the breaking of the Torah. So if there's no Torah anymore, then that means there's no sin anymore. If there's no sin anymore, then why do I need a Savior? You know, you do away with the whole avenue of needing salvation if there's no sin and there's no Torah. And the same way here. If there's no need for repentance, you know, if I've already done that, then we're doing away with the need for our Savior. Matthew 26:39. "And going forward a little, Yeshua, he fell on his face, praying and saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.'" It's the time of the year here at Passover where if we really want to get in a spirit of true repentance and we really want to draw in the Spirit of Yahweh, the focus has got to be on surrendering ourselves. It's got to be surrendering. You know, and remember, we were talking a little bit about this the other day, that the amazing reality of the Holy Spirit is a gift. That the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Yahweh, which is Yahweh, it's eternal, it's living, and it's something that is real. It's something that is real. And for people to say, I don't see the Holy Spirit in my life, or I've never experienced the Holy Spirit, then what they've done is either they didn't receive it or they quenched it. But if the Holy Spirit is living in you, and you're not seeing it in your life, you're not surrendering yourself. Because it has to work in you. It's not like a box of batteries and maybe 9 work and 1 doesn't. It has to work. If you surrender yourself, the Holy Spirit will work in more ways than one. You know, beside miracles that the Holy Spirit does, we had an excellent message by Andy that a few weeks ago on the gift of miracles. But just on a daily basis, the Holy Spirit leads you to repentance. The Holy Spirit will lead you to humility. The Holy Spirit will lead you to love. The Holy Spirit will lead you to convict you to all these things. Because it's the Spirit of Yahweh. And the reason why the Father and the Son, there's no envy or there's no contention, is because they're both yielded 100% to that Spirit that's the same. So it's the same with us. If you're yielding to that Spirit, it will automatically work. You have to yield to it, though. You have to yield to it. And what's going to happen is, Satan is going to tempt you by your human nature. Oh, don't let him get away with that. Oh, did you hear how he said that? Oh, he's going to tempt you through your pride. He's going to tempt you through these things. And because the last thing Satan wants is the Holy Spirit working in your life. Why? Because he can't trick the Holy Spirit. He can't trick the Holy Spirit, but he can trick your human nature. Because your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that's what he plays on. He'll play on your human emotions. He'll play it through songs. He'll play it through a movie. There was, I guess it was about 2 years ago, somebody that I know here, who's a messianic, he was telling me that in their congregation, they showed this movie. And he's in the movie, there was very risque things in the movie. You know, a couple of scenes that were not good with kissing. There was drugs. There were things in the movie that any believer would not watch and wouldn't see. And he said, yeah, me and my wife felt uncomfortable. But then at the end, the pastor said, yeah, but in the end, it all worked out. You know, they whatever happened, the two men that were mad at each other made up. I said, man, that movie is by Satan. That movie is by Satan. So what? Yeah, we know we have to make up with each other. It's in the Bible. I don't have to watch a movie that has, adultery in it or cursing or anything else that I know that I got to make up with somebody. That's what Hollywood is, though. It's a deception. And it's the same way. You know, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good report. Not to even look upon the evil. So we don't have to look at evil to get to something good. We already have something good. And when I told him this, he was a little taken back. But why would I want to watch a movie like that? Why would I want to watch a movie that has things that are totally contrary to the word of Yahweh, just because in the end, Satan is going to try to put some fluff? Because you know what I told him? I said, those things you saw are in your mind now. And it's 10 times harder to get them out of your mind. You already had in your mind that I have to forgive my brother. I don't need to see a movie for that. But now you have things that are contrary to the word of Yahweh also in your mind. There's a reason why, you know, divorce is 60%, why adultery is rampant. There's a reason. Because people are not guarding their spirit. And that's the thing. If we surrender to the spirit of Yahweh, and the first thing you've got to realize, though, is how bad your spirit is. And in the end, the bottom line is, if you have your spirit and Yahweh's spirit, you've got to believe Yahweh's spirit's better. You know, so whether you think your spirit is 1,000% bad or only 90% bad, it doesn't make a difference. Surrender it, and you'll see an amazing change in your life. Surrender it. That the alternative is the spirit of Yahweh filling you and bringing that. Last thing I want to go into is Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, when we're dealing with repentance. Because sometimes people go the other route. Instead of having no spirit of repentance, there's an over spirit of guilt that stops them to come to repentance. That they feel so guilty, they feel so violated, they feel so evil that they say, I could never go to Yahweh. Yahweh would never accept me because I'm too guilty. And like I say, balance weight through the light of Yahweh. You know, and it's abhorrable to him to have somebody who doesn't see any need of repentance. But at the same rate, if you're feeling that you're too bad, you know, you can't repent because you're too bad, what you're literally saying is that Yeshua's sacrifice cannot cover your sin. Oh, no, I'm not saying that. No, that's exactly what you're saying, because let's read it here. Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of ashes of a heifer on those having been defiled sanctifies them to the purity of the flesh, he's talking about the ceremonial law, that in the Levitical order, if, you know, going through the red heifer sacrifice and the mikvahs and all this stuff, if that purified your flesh when you were ceremonially unclean, by how much more the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to Yahweh, will purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim. So, yes, if you will not repent to Yahweh because you feel you're too bad, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life, what you're saying is your sin is greater than the sacrifice of the Messiah. Whether you think you're saying that or not, that's exactly what you're saying. Because his sacrifice, as the creator of everything and the creator of all of us and an eternal being, his sacrifice by far is greater than any sin we can do. And Paul goes into this in Romans, but then after he goes into it, he says, but, you know, not, let's not get the attitude then that let's keep sinning, that is starting to make a sacrifice greater. You know, do we continue to sin? That grace abound? Yahweh forbid. No, we establish the Torah through his sacrifice. We don't continue to sacrifice to give him a reason to have been crucified. He has enough reason. You know, we have enough sin. We don't need to purposely add to it. But right here, we want to make sure we don't fall into that route. Because to be honest with you, although it may seem like overly humility, it's actually self-righteousness. It's self-righteousness if the end result is that we will not repent because we're feeling that our sin is greater than Yeshua's sacrifice. There's nothing greater than his sacrifice. And you need humility, and it will give you humility to internalize this and lay it at his feet. And then to understand, you know. That's why I can go in the house of Caiaphas 10,000 times and I'll have the same feeling every time I go in there. Because it's not just another day in the house of Caiaphas. Every time I go in there, the reality of it is that I put the eternal Creator and Savior on that tree of crucifixion. I did it. I did it. My sins. By my wickedness, by my human nature, by my defilement of everything that he created for me in the Garden of Eden, I did it. Yet at the other end, I don't feel guilt because he willingly did it. You know, my sin may have been the cause for him to have to die. But like he says, I put my life down and I take it up again and no one takes it from me. So Yeshua willingly died to pay the penalty of our sins. So you want to make sure you're repentant, but you don't want to be overly righteous in that repentance that you think somehow your sin is greater than his sacrifice in doing that. Let's go to Revelation 2 because I want to show you in the end time there, because of the unrepentant spirit in the end time, we have seven churches. We've been studying this in our weekly Bible study, so we don't have to get into it too much. But just to show you that out of the seven churches, which everybody's part of, if you're part of the true church, there's not an eighth church. It's not like the beast, you know, the eighth is of the seventh, or none of that. There's seven churches in the end time, and you're one of these, maybe a combination of, but all of us are somewhere in here. And the scary part is, as we read here, look what he says to 74% or more of the people in these congregations. Revelation 2 and verse 5. Then remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the first works. And if not, I'm coming to you quickly and will remove your menorah from its place unless you repent. The menorah is actually the sign of being a believer. You know, that's the sign of being part of in the congregation. He's saying, I'll remove it from you unless you repent. Verse 16. Repent. But if not, I will come to you quickly and I will make war with them by the sword of my mouth. Verse 21. And I gave her time that she might repent of her fornication. She did not repent. Behold, I will cast her into a coffin and those committing adultery with her into great affliction, unless they repent of their works. And I will kill her children with death, and the congregations will know that I am the one searching the inner parts and the hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Revelation 3:3. Then remember how you received and heard and keep and repent. If then you do not watch, I will come to you like a thief and you will not at all know the hour I am coming to you. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chastise. Be zealous then and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter to him and I will dine with him and be with him. The one overcoming, I will give to him to sit with me on my throne, as I overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. The one that has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. So here it is, as we're looking in the end time here. Most of the believers are told to repent. Repentance, like I said, it's a 180-degree term. The word picture for repentance in Hebrew is to destroy the path to the house. You leave nothing to go back to. You leave nothing to go back to. It's a total destruction of the old life and building the new life in Yahweh, in Yeshua. Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. And this is after Yeshua's resurrection. And he said to them, "Going into the world, preach the good news to all creation. The one believing and being baptized will be saved, and the one not believing will be condemned." So again, before we can be baptized, Acts 2:37 and 38, we have to repent of our sins. And like I said, it's not just a remorsefulness or feeling sorry, but it's a literal abhorring of our being, of who we are. It's an abhorring that we walked our whole life contrary to Yahweh, contrary to His ways, contrary to His Spirit, that we were going our own way. We know that our own way was only leading to death, physical death and spiritual death, and it's a total change. Like Romans 6, the new person that comes. We're the servant of what we obey, righteousness to eternal life, or sin unto death. But again, in order to repent, you must believe. You must believe. Repent and have faith. That's what Peter says on the day of Shavuot in 30 AD, when they said, you know, they were pricked in the heart by his message, and they said, what must we do? And he said, repent and believe. You have to first repent. You have to turn from your former way of life. You have to surrender to Yahweh. And you have to believe that Yeshua sacrifice covers the sins that you're asking Yahweh for him to pay the penalty of. So again, repentance is not a one-time thing. Repentance is a choice. It's a lifestyle. And it's something that we have to freely work on. It's something that we have to think about, and especially this time of the year. You know, it talks about in the book of Peter that says, if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't have to be judged. It's not for us at this time of the year to be going to other people and telling them, unless, of course, if somebody was caught in a sin or something, then we do have the responsibility to go to them in humility, privately, and share with them. But it's not the time to be looking for snakes under rocks. You know, I'm going to find out your sin and I'm going to find out your sin. No, this is the time of year every year that I want to find out my sins. That I want to deeply in prayer and study. I want to be asking Yahweh, you know, like David did, to Yahweh, show my heart. Show me from your word. You know, as we're doing our Passover preparation, ask him. It's amazing. And all of you have given testimonies on this. How you opened the word of Yahweh and boom, there's your answer right there. Ask him what it is you need to work on. Let him show it to you. You know. But then once he does, we want to make sure that we're not rich and increased with goods in need of nothing. Because there is something we all need. And that's the grace of Yahweh and his gift of repentance. Yahweh bless.